puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Time for our Sunday morning chat with Gordon Goldsborough and Abandoned Manitoba. Hi, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
So what are we talking about this week?
Well, I thought we would talk about something that's been, well, frankly, rolling around in my head for the last month or so, and it relates to the preservation of Manitoba's photographic heritage. It relates to a dilemma that one of my archivist friends told me about several years ago.
Uh-oh, what's the dilemma?
Well, in the past, as someone neared the end of their life, they would pass on to their children the family heirlooms, you know, things like furniture, maybe fine china, you know, military medals, documents, photo albums, maybe even a wedding dress. You know, there's all sorts of things that people pass from generation to generation. Well, people today aren't as interested in acquiring stuff as preceding generations, so they aren't always keen to take these items from their parents. In the context of today's conversation, the challenge for archivists is that people are offering them documents and photos that are, well, they're frankly, their archives are bursting at the seams. Almost every archive in Manitoba is at or near full capacity. You know, so they're often forced to refuse a donation, not because it doesn't have historical value, but because there's simply no place to store the stuff. The result is that there are many people out there who are looking for a place to get rid of photo albums full of people and places they don't recognize. The MHS is frequently contacted by such people who hope that we can help them.
And what do you tell them?
Whenever possible, we suggest places where the photos might be donated. And so that's what I plan to do when our office received an email in late November in the interest of preserving her privacy from a person that I'll refer to as Brenda. She emailed us to say that she had found information on our website that related to a fellow named Charles A. Gary, and that she had lots of photos of Mr. Gary and his family.
Who was Charles Gary?
Well, he was one of five children of Robert Gary, a Scottish merchant who in 1873 brought a load of furniture to Winnipeg aboard a steamboat, and he opened the first furniture store in Western Canada. During the great land boom of 1881-1882, Gary invested heavily in real estate, and, well, at one time, he owned much of the land south of Portage Avenue, including along Sherbrooke, Maryland, and Furby Streets. Now, Charles Gary worked for his father for a while, then he farmed at Rosser before he returned to Winnipeg as an inspector of public buildings, from which he retired in 1930. He and his wife Emma had eight children, the last of whom died in 2001. Now, I know all these details because Robert and Charles Gary are among the thousands of people in the Memorable Manitobans collection on the MHS website that we talked about last week. The Gary biographies were what led Brenda to contact the MHS.
So what did Brenda want?
Well, I think she wanted us to see the albums and to give her advice about them. Well, given that the Gary family was noteworthy, I was intrigued. So I arranged to come to her home in Winnipeg to see them.
And what did the albums look like?
Well, there were five albums, all of a style that I'm familiar with from the early 20th century. They consist of a hardcover with pages of heavy black paper stock inside to which photos were glued. Now, someone had written captions in white ink below many of the photos that identified people. Some of the captions made reference to a residence on Furby Street, and a note on the front of each album indicated that they were from either the 1910s or the 1920s or the 1930s. So the first question that I put to Brenda was, how are you related to the Gary family? And I was surprised by her answer.
Ooh, what was her answer?
She was totally unrelated to the Garys. But she had used clues, such as those photo captions, to confirm that the albums had once belonged to the Gary family. Now, naturally, I wanted to know, how had she ended up with these wonderful old albums if she wasn't a family member? Brenda told me that she had managed a Winnipeg thrift store. Of course, the premise of those stores is that people drop off items they don't want anymore, and the store sells them to the public. In this case, Brenda told me that the policy of the organization that operated her store was that any such photo album went immediately into the trash.
Oh, no. Why?
Well, apparently, the organization believes that there is no market for photo albums, that they take up valuable shelf space with no financial benefit to the store. So when anybody drops off photo albums, they go right into the dumpster. Now, I bet this would give pause to people who think they're doing a good thing when they deliver old family albums to a thrift store. In fact, unless someone like Brenda intervenes, those once cherished family memories end up in a landfill. So therein lies my idea, which we'll come back to shortly. But first, let's finish the story of the Gary photo albums.
Okay, so what happened to them?
Brenda hated to see these nice old albums go into the garbage, so she hoped that I might be able to help her find them a good home. Now, I remembered being contacted back in 2018 by someone who had seen the biography of Charles Gary on our website and wanted to offer some updated information. He said that he was a descendant. So my first thought was, let's try and contact that person. Now, of course, old email addresses have a tendency to stop working. So I thought, well, I'll give it a try. We'll see what happens. I sent the person a message, hoping that it would reach them.
And did it?
Yes, indeed. Actually, he responded very quickly to say that he was keen to see the albums, but that he lived out of town. However, his mother lives here in Winnipeg. Would I be willing to take the albums to her? Sure, I said. So, with Brenda's blessing, I took the photo albums to a nice home in Fort Garry. The woman was indeed a great-granddaughter of Charles Garry. She opened the first album and gasped. There on the page was a photo of her mother as a child. You know, so she was grateful to have the albums, and I gave her Brenda's contact information so she could speak with the person who had saved her family treasures from the landfill.
Must have been so gratifying for Brenda, hey?
Oh, absolutely. You know, well, she saw that they were valuable, at least not in a financial sense, yeah. But as, you know, a family memento. And so I'm so pleased that we were able to give these books a happy ending.
It does beg the question, though, why were the Gary family photo albums given to a thrift store when there were actually descendants who wanted them?
Well, as sometimes happens in a large family tree with many branches, one branch who may have albums may not think of offering them to another branch. This exact thing happened to me several years ago. I bought several books from an antique dealer, and the books had my great-grandfather's signature in them. Turns out the dealer had obtained the books from my distant relatives who didn't realize that I might want them.
Okay, so let's get to your idea then.
Okay, I haven't come up with a catchy name for it, but for now, let's call it Operation Photo Salvation. It's aimed at all of our listeners, so pay attention now, but also the staff and managers of thrift stores. If you have historical photos that you don't want, please do not discard them. Instead, offer them to a museum or archive in your community. Now, if they won't take them, and that's a possibility, then offer them to a thrift store after you've ascertained that they will not throw them out. And if all else fails, if none of this works out for you, contact the MHS and we will do our best to find a good home for those photos. And if we fail at doing that, well, we'll digitize the photos at least to ensure the information in them that they contain will survive. And so my hope is that no historical photos will ever end up in the trash, but will instead be treasured and preserved. So to that end, if you have any photos needing a forever home and are at wit's end to find one, please contact me, Gordon, G-O-R-D-O-N, at mhs.mb.ca.
I love the length that you go to in order to preserve local history.
Well, I know what I would feel like if my family photos ended up in the dump. I want to make sure that that doesn't happen to anyone else.
And I also really appreciate the detective work you did in getting Brenda's photo albums to their rightful owners. So good for you, Gordon. What's up for next week?
Well, there's no telling what can happen when Scotsmen meet over a bottle of whiskey. One of the things that did happen was the development of a concept called the Rubble Club. That's an organization for architects to commiserate when the buildings they've designed are demolished in their lifetime. Next week, I'm going to bring the concept of Rubble Club to Manitoba and look at architects through our history for whom the majority of their design work is now gone.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Gordon.
Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.